Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. Tonight's program is a very special focus on UFOs and the timeline, according to the signs, the astrological signs about upcoming disclosure. William Stick Evers. Okay, so the first thing we want to talk about is the fact that they call disclosure actually did happen December 16th online, December 17th public.
Correct.
On the New York Times 2017. Now, that was a disclosure as far as I'm concerned. The New York Times, the Pentagon admitted that there were UFOs, there were things that they couldn't explain. Why did that not catch on? I mean, it was in the news, had a very short news cycle, and yet it was a form of disclosure, yet people are saying we're waiting for disclosure. So Right. Let's talk about that issue.
Well, I think the real issue now that disclosure has been put forth is we're now awaiting confirmation.
What does that mean?
Confirmation meaning someone within the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, from the White House stating that what was disclosed is an ongoing investigation or project, because the real issue had to do with the fact that when there was follow-up, the Department of Defense and the Pentagon said, we have nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. We don't deny it was a Department of Defense release. Right. We do not deny Luis Elizondo was behind this project, but we're not commenting any further on it.
But if you look at the New York Times article, it said, yes, this footage of the, what they call the Tic Tac, was released Pentagon footage.
So correct.
The Pentagon is giving official, formerly top secret footage to the New York Times.
Correct.
So that's
partly the New York Times not following up, following through. And again, it goes back to this confirmation issue. Right, where the New York Times would then pursue the story to get confirmation on what was released and to get further information on the ATIP program.
Right. So let's go back then in history to UFOs and where they chart astrologically within, like, what date would you use?
One of the things when I first took this deep dive in looking at the historical significance of UFOs, mm-hmm. I noticed there was very powerful archetypal planetary lineups that correlated with significant UFO events in history.
Like, what would those lineups be?
There would be the lineups of the slower moving outer planetary alignments.
Uranus.
Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto.
Okay.
And when they were in alignment, there was major historical events that had significance, cultural significance, military significance. Mm-hmm. And basically that more or less created the crisis that resulted in the National Security Act, the National Security Agency, the actual government and superstructure that responded to events that developed right after World War II.
Right. So I like your theory, the fact that we suddenly finished World War II and suddenly 1947 – formally, there's this UFO scare. The guy who flew over Mount Rainier was the guy. Then Roswell, 1940s, in July 1947.
That's right.
And then out of that,
we got the National Security Act within weeks of that event.
Was there a particular alignment in that June and July that signified?
Yeah. So those alignments that occurred in 47, was the Saturn-Pluto alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So the Saturn-Pluto alignment generally correlates historically with periods of crisis, geopolitical crisis, and correlates with military conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, this was a significant shock and awe event for the government that required it to basically restructure its military policies and in order to address the problem that was being presented, that there was an ongoing ET presence with a superior technology.
So this is when you would call, let's say, the secret government really took place in order to respond to the UFO crisis, because
correct.
It was a crisis.
Correct.
No one knew what to do with that.
No one knew what to
there was
do
this
with
crash it. In Roswell and probably other places like Aztec and a few other places.
Right.
But then Truman responds by
right.
saying, we just finished this in we're not going to pull this on the American people. Right. Basically,
and this was happening during a period of widespread pessimism, because this was the emerging Cold War, which resulted in the Cold War doctrine that comes out within weeks after the creation of the National Security Act. Right. So that's Saturn Pluto. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, as I stated, Saturn Pluto historically correlates with periods of crisis in authority, crisis in government, breakdown, the breakdown of established institutions, the restructuring of established institutions. And it's a period where a certain it represents like a death rebirth where there's an apocal closure that's followed by something new emerging from that.
Well, that would be World War II was an apocalypse worldwide.
Right.
And what emerged, it wasn't just pessimism. It was a whole boom in the 40s and late 40s, 50s and 60s.
Right.
It was the baby boom. It was a populated. It was industrial. It was a cultural revolution. It was a huge.
So what was happening in 47 was really an inceptional period where there was massive socioeconomic changes occurring. Right. And this correlated with Roswell. Within days of the exact alignment, the Roswell crash occurred. Mm-hmm. So that alignment was effective all the way from 47 into the early 50s that coincided with the creation of the National Security Agency, the Korean War, and all of the nuclear first strike policies that the United States was putting out in dealing with the Soviet issue.
Is there one particular planet that signifies like military or maybe Mars and one that signifies a UFO awareness that directly relates?
Well, I think the planet particularly that seems to correlate historically with all the major events would be Pluto.
Okay.
Right. And Pluto is very much connected with secrecy. It's very much connected with the deep state. It's very much connected with something that's bigger, overwhelming, overpowering, beyond unfathomable in understanding and perception, which is very much with the UFO, high strangeness, right? A term that's very common now that's associated with UFO. So I think, and otherworldly. So I think Pluto would really be the planet.
Okay, so let's go back to the 47 cycle. So something began in 47. Would that be the chart to work with for the rest of the interaction?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So what do you see as far as a cyclical disclosure or appearance?
Well, what I would do, I refer back to the Roswell incident, July 7, 1947, 9:18 p.m. was when the Roswell base informed AP, Associated Press, on the crash disk, which we have both in that is recorded in the Roswell Daily Record. It's also recorded in AP, and that's also recorded in the Roswell radio station. So when we look at that chart, that's the chart. That's the inceptional chart of the what we would call the modern day UFO phenomenon.
Okay, so you take that as if that's the birth.
That is the birth.
Okay, and then from there, what kind of crisis is and what appearance? Right. So, as if you're looking at someone's chart, you could see when they might get married or when they fall in love.
So the most, again, the most prominent aspect is that Saturn-Pluto alignment occurring. So that Saturn-Pluto alignment is occurring within a few degrees of the time of that event at the same time that it's making a very tight aspect to Jupiter. So there's a Saturn-Pluto conjunction square Jupiter. So there's three major outer planetary alignments, planetary alignments occurring simultaneously. So that's our signature. Mm-hmm. And when we see that combination repeat itself in various different ways, we see an emergence or a new chapter and development that occurs in the UFO phenomenon.
If you were just looking at that chart, though, let's say it was a person, would that be of any significance, a chart like that?
Oh, absolutely, because you can run transits and progressions to that chart, and you could make prediction. In fact, that's what I did. I looked at all the events going forward up to the time of the disclosure, New York Times disclosure event of the ATIP program and Department of Defense videos. And I noticed there was direct hits from that period going all the way back to 47 to that Roswell incident horoscope.
But I'm just saying, if that was someone's chart, would you say this is an interesting person?
Absolutely.
What was it, what's interesting particularly about that birth chart that you see?
What's interesting about this birth chart, if I were to look at it as a person, is someone who would go through periodic transformational crises.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's sort of what we're at in the
where we're at.
So let's take this forward from 47. What do you predict the flyover of Washington, D.C. 1952?
Yes. From that point,
right.
We have the Nathan Twining memos, and we have the Nathan Twining accident reports.
What's all the Nathan Twining?
Yeah. So basically, the Nathan Twining air accident report went into detail. It was recently declassified, and it talks about flying disc, right? The disc itself. It was talking about the construction of the disc, that the fact that it had it lacked any external propulsion system. It was not Russian manufacturer. It was the examination of the interior of the craft and the compartment.
Where was this?
This is all coming directly out of the Twining memo and the Twining.
But the Twining was an Air Force memo.
This was an Air Force memo.
And this wasn't top secret, though.
This was classified, but declassified recently.
Recently.
So what they did get from this is that the main propulsion system was a bladeless turbine similar to the current development now underway at AMC, which was directly out of the report.
Wait, they got what? Where they got an object that crashed, you're saying?
Yes. This was basically an assessment that was provided to Truman on what they found at the crash site.
The Roswell crash
site. The Roswell crash
site. And that was taken first to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Correct.
And now it's probably at Area 51 or something.
Right, right.
All right.
So metallic skin of high polished finish. The power plant consisted of a spherical reactor, hydrogen isotope type. Mm-hmm. So they had a very good idea of what was in this craft. They didn't understand how it worked, but they had a good idea about where the flight control mechanism was, the power plant, the landing gear, the circular wings, all those types of things were very much addressed in this report.
So do you think from this they started to reverse engineer, like Bob Lazar said? Right?
Absolutely.
And how far do you think they've gotten?
I think based on what we do know from Colonel Philip Crosso's book, mm-hmm. The Day After Roswell, who was in charge of the Foreign Technologies Division in the Pentagon, where he was responsible for taking that technology and disseminating it into the military industrial complex throughout the country into various corporations. We are somewhere about 5 to 10 generations ahead of our competitors.
In technology. From the UFO crash. So what do you think we have? I know we're going off astrology, but what do you think we have as far as ET technology?
I think it's quite possible that we probably have reached the first generation of technological singularity, artificial intelligence, antigravitics.
What does that mean in terms of
energy?
Propulsion?
Yeah, for propulsion, the propulsion system
of
UFOs. We probably, according to a number of disclosures and whistleblowers from Lockheed Martin in particular, that we, by the early 90s, we had the mathematics at that point to create the first generation of a warp drive capability.
Well, there's that famous line, I forgot by who, said we can take ET home.
Right. That's Ben Rich.
Ben Rich from Lockheed says
Martin.
We now have the – so that's you're saying is sort of based on the
– right.
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 On the technology they reverse engineered from Roswell.
Right.
Okay. I saw Williams going through some slides here. You know, one of my favorite moments or the thing that woke me up, it was the Betty and Barney Hill case.
Yes.
1961. But they published that report in Look magazine.
Right.
My family got Look magazine for some reason. And I read that when I was, I don't know how old was it, 10 years old or something.
Right.
I said, there's something happening with these guys. They're not just publishing this in Look Mag. That was my first awakening that there's something going on here.
Well, you know, it all changed with the Uranus-Pluto alignment. The Uranus-Pluto alignment began around 1960, early, late 1960, 61. It's when this Uranus-Pluto conjunction alignment began and was all effective throughout the 60s and early 70s into 72, early 73.
Well, that's also the Kennedy era.
That's the Kennedy era, the counterculture era. That's the psychedelic revolution. Mm-hmm. That's the women's liberation revolution. Mm-hmm. That's Beatlemania, civil rights. We see the Summer of Love, the human being.
And that was all Uranian, kicked off this whole...
So Pluto and Uranus, right?
Together. Conjunct. And right now, just as a sideline, we're getting that Uranus-Pluto, what, square opposition?
Yes. That's happening now.
A square.
That's happening, right.
So what was happening as a revolution in the 60s, what's a square doing to that?
The square is manifesting it now into our day-to-day reality. It's not mm-hmm. just fringe. It's not just a movement. This is something that's now becoming part of mainstream. Right. So how this relates to UFOs in particular is this is when abductions really start going parabolic.
With
right?
the Betty and Barney Hill
with
case.
With the inception of the Betty and Barney Hill case that happened, actually, the Zeta Reticuli incident, as it's known.
Right. Because for people who don't know, Betty was shown a star map, and this woman, Marjorie Fish, who was an amateur astronomer, took that star map that Betty saw on the ship she was taken to and said, "That looks like they're showing you there from Zeta Reticuli."
That's right. And that event occurred September 19, 1961 at 10:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. in Lincoln, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So you could see here that you see that Uranus-Pluto tight conjunction. It's actually a Venus-Uranus-Pluto real tight conjunction here occurring. And then you also see the fact that you see this Jupiter-Moon-Saturn tight conjunction. So there's two sets of tight conjunctions occurring simultaneously using, and so this is a chart, this would be the inceptional chart of UFO abduction.
Right, and it's in, did you have, I actually, if you go to Lincoln, New Hampshire, there's actually a plaque there put up by the state of New Hampshire, and I was there, I took a picture there, that said, "This is where Benny and Barney Hill were abducted by UFOs," there, New York, the New Hampshire State Highway Commission did that. But did you happen to do Betty's chart and see where that chart?
No, I didn't have Betty's chart, but I looked at, I'm looking at this chart here, and now we're seeing a whole new thing where the abduction is no longer, now abduction is sort of like part of the mainstream, right? But now what are we talking about? Hybrids.
Right.
So the whole thing now, the hybrid is the second phase of the Uranus-Pluto. First you had the conjunction, now you have the square. So that hybrid theme since 2007 onward has been, 2007 was the beginning of the square. Present.
Because before that, it came out with Whitley Strieber
in 85, 86.
But it didn't come out really publicly as acknowledged.
And now we're talking about hybrids. So now the whole thing is about these human hybrids that are now being integrated. 30% of the DNA in the United States, according to many sources and whistleblowers, has the alien DNA that is part of an ongoing program. These abduction programs.
I think I'm part alien.
Well, that might be so.
You know?
I don't know.
I'm getting a pointing finger from the audience. Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
So you're taking the Benny and Barney Hill incident to be the birth chart for the abduction phenomenon.
Correct.
And then you've progressed it to where it's square.
Right. Where the planets are squaring
each
other.
What are the planets that are significant in that birth chart? In that
Again,
abduction?
It's Uranus. In this case, it is the Uranus-Pluto alignment and the Jupiter-Saturn alignment.
Oh.
So you see two. These are very significant. And this is significant because what's going to be happening in 2020? We're going to be having Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto in tight conjunction in square with Uranus. All four are pulled in.
So it seems like that's the recurring features. Uranus is part of the recurring UFO scene.
So there
right?
will be something based on this Zeta Reticuli incident. Somehow or other, this is going to break through. This will be part of the disclosure. Somehow or other, this is going to break. There's going to be a verification or a disclosure that is somehow connected to this event.
Did you happen to track in this progression the Travis Walton 1975?
Yes, in fact, I have.
Because I like Travis. He's a friend and he's a totally sincere person. He's been challenged.
Well, I'll tell you what I found. What I found was the discovery of artificial structures on the moon when NASA discovered that in July 2nd, 1965.
What do you mean they discovered that?
When U.S. Air Force Sergeant Carl Wolf was the eyewitness to the artificial structures, when he was brought into Langley to repair the photographic process that was being – he was pulled in, and he was informed that they found structures on the moon, and they were he was the repairman to fix the mechanism that would convert the signals into images. They had some problem. He was brought in. He was informed what he needed to repair. And he had a very high classification. He went and disclosed this at the National Press Conference at Stephen Greer's event on September 9th, 2001, at the Washington Press Club.
But there's no mainstream media that picks this. I mean, he may say there's Martians walking around.
He confirmed that he said he would, so this is evidence here. He presented the evidence. Mm-hmm. Many whistleblowers have come since and talked about these structures. Now, based on what we do know, is that this is the main reason we went to the moon. It was such a rush to beat the Russians.
To find the structures.
To find the structures, find out who was there, what that technology was, what threat assessment it would be to the United States and its national security complex.
I thought we went to the moon rush because Kennedy said we want to put a man on the moon in 1961. He said that.
Right.
And we wanted to get there by 69. But
what happened was that's true.
Yeah.
By the end of the decade, what was the rush? What was the rush? Why did they have
Kennedy
to get there so
thing.
Fast? Well, why? Why were they willing to spend $100 billion, write one check and do this, rush it, push it out?
You're saying is to check out the artificial.
The NASA images from the structures. So what happened was the Russians first sent a satellite around the moon first. Mm-hmm. They got around there in the early 60s. They took pictures. The CIA intercepted those pics, converted them. They got information. We launched our own probe. And based on those images that came in 1965, President Kennedy was informed of this. They decided to do more reconnaissance, push out a manned mission, And we got confirmation of this in 65. And we do now have images from those, from that particular mission.
But the moon landings didn't go near these structures.
No, they.
Or did they? Well, they didn't check them. The astronauts were not.
Right. So there is information being presented now that the Apollo missions continued after 1972.
Actually, I heard that from Linda Moulton Howe recently.
Right. So
you think those missions actually went to these
to those particular areas? Yes.
I'm not sure about that.
Sure, but this is what we're hearing. I can't confirm it, but it makes sense based on the narrative that we have. So we know, right? The other thing that was happening in the mid 60s, 1967. We find out that there's many UFO incidences occurring across many air bases where our ICBMs were being disabled and where the warheads were being compromised.
Yes.
So they were shutting down series like over 10 to 20 missiles in different air bases simultaneously. This caused a major, major upheaval in the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, for those who want to look at this, is the Maelstrom F-4 space incident, March 16th, 1967, at 6:41 a.m. In Maelstrom, Montana.
Wait, I'm just getting some questions from the chat because we are going live. This one, it's a little off the UFO topic. Do alignments cause things to happen, or is there a mechanism that was programmed?
Right. So there is no mechanism. There is no physical mechanism behind alignments and events. There is a correlation. A correlation.
Okay, and one more. This is off the topic too a little bit, but how does Lilith? You don't deal with Lilith.
I don't deal with Lilith. I don't see any astrological significance to Lilith.
Well, is Lilith is an asteroid?
It has something to do with the moon, right? The moon. The moon. The dark moon of Lilith. It has a particular point.
Okay, when you look at a chart, you're mostly dealing with the planets.
I'm dealing with the big dudes. I'm dealing with the big guns, which are Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto.
Okay, so let's keep moving forward within the UFO. So we
have the moon landing that occurs in 69 during this Uranus Pluto. Notice the Jupiter Uranus Pluto triple conjunction all occurring at the time of the moon landing on July 20th, 69 at 10:56 p.m. I'm using a Washington, D.C. chart.
Mm.
So we're seeing a recapitulation of the major planetary
alignments. Wait, let me just ask you about the moon landing. Was there a significant reason we landed that day? What was it? I mean, was there an astrological?
Well, again, these alignments don't occur. I mean, we're not going to see another Jupiter-Uranus-Pluto alignment for another 172 years.
And do you think Neil Armstrong, when he stepped off that ship, saw something?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, I mean, the Apollo 11 UFO encounter, right, where Armstrong states off, they switched the channel to the medical. They had they switched off public channel to the medical channel. So there's a medical channel, right?
That wasn't in the movie First Man, was it?
No, that was not in the movie First Man, where Armstrong says, "Sir, these babies are huge, enormous. Oh God, you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, there are other craft out there."
Where does he say that?
He states that specifically. This is actually this narrative. This statement is taken directly from what do they call it? Those ham radio operators. So there's ham radio operators intercepting the communication on the medical channel.
They
assembled this all. This is actually published in Above Top Secret, page 384.
So that didn't go live to that went NASA and NASA covered
that covered. So that was on a public channel.
Oh,
they switched to a private medical channel.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And we have the ham operators all intercepting this. This is not just one ham operator. There's many.
Wait, I say Armstrong said these babies are huge.
These babies are huge, sir. Enormous. Oh God, you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, there are other spacecraft out there lined up on the far side of the crater edge.
I don't think I ever heard this before. This is really amazing.
Yes. And this,
So that follows that same sequence of the Uranus, Saturn,
Jupiter, Uranus, Pluto.
Jupiter. Or anytime that's in alignment, you can say there might be a UFO incident?
UFO of historical significance.
Wow. Right? Okay.
Then we have the next, the Travis Walton incident.
1975
here. Right. I noted, you could see, I'm not noticing a big alignment on this one, except for the Saturn Uranus.
You know, I'd love to get you Travis's chart.
Sure.
Would you like to do that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sure he'd be interested in that.
Yeah, we could talk about that. Take a deep dive on that.
That would be great. Actually, we can get Travis right there on
Skype.
Okay.
All
next
right.
show. Okay. So we have that. And then we have the Turan. But if we keep going forward to the critic, we have the, Bentwaters, 1980.
Right.
Okay.
Right. The Holt memo.
Anything, was it December 26th?
Right. So
1980.
Yeah. Right. So we have identified flying objects and extraterrestrial visitation, 1981, briefing. We have the Holt memo that occurs, in January 1981. And this is again, during the Saturn Pluto alignment, which became effective in or between 1981 and 1984, right? And at this time, there's a briefing. William Casey, director of the CIA, briefs President Reagan, right, along with the MJ-12 briefing team on March 6, 1981, about five different extraterrestrial species, talking about their technology. It's estimated to be 1,000 years more advanced than ours. They use a very high-band radio wave system, which is different than the frequencies and difficult for the NSA to track, but they are being tracked. And one particular species, a hostile alien visit, they're called HAVs, are an extraterrestrial species that can camouflage themselves of some type of blonde humanoid.
Wait, I just want to go back to the Neil Armstrong thing. Someone said, is there actually a recording of that somewhere people can hear?
I don't believe there's a recording of
because
that.
Because someone could have just made that
up. My reference, where you can get the reference and the sources, if you go to Timothy Good's Above Top Secret, page 384, he has all the reference material where the source of that dialogue.
Okay.
It's an extensive dialogue. I just took the best of it.
No,
right?
It's an extensive dialogue that Neil Armstrong
had. And Buzz Aldrin, who actually confirms that that was true.
But he's still alive.
He's still alive, yes. And he's been coming out. Now, he was recently in a film about the astronauts landing on the moon, right? He was actually in the movie where the astronauts land on the moon. Uh-huh. They say one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. They say, okay, switch off the radio. Let's switch the radios off. Go to your target. And there's an alien structure which they had to investigate.
Wait, where's that?
That is in one of those movies, recent Transformer movies. Transformer, The Dark Side of the Moon.
I think it's a fiction.
But Buzz is in that movie.
Buzz himself.
Buzz himself is starring in that movie as an older version, all right?
Really?
Years later, that takes place in the movie. So it's very interesting.
No, but the interesting thing also about Buzz, he was flown down to Antarctica.
Right.
When they were digging up those structures, and he said he just saw the face of evil. No one knows what that means, but he saw something in Antarctica.
But the thing is that the very dialogue that we're discussing now was played out cinematically in this film.
Right. Okay. And that's like
and Buzz is in the movie as playing himself.
That's pretty strange. And there's also that John Glenn thing on some television show where he goes on and on about visitors or craft.
You know, disclosure's happening.
And you know, John Glenn was the one who talked to Harry Reid.
That's right.
Yes.
Who's involved with the ATIP program.
Yes. Okay. So let's keep going. And someone asked, do we know which race? I think the Zetas are a race. That is a little gray.
So look, I just, one of the things that happens during this Saturn-Pluto alignment that happens in the 80s is when Reagan comes out and says, I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from the outside this world. President Ronald Reagan addressing to the United Nations September 21st, 87.
That's a famous
line.
And that's a Pluto, Uranus.
That's a Saturn Pluto.
It is.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a Saturn Pluto. At the same time that this is happening, we also see Edward Teller, the father of the H-bomb, right? He states, and this is a memo that was declassified and written in the 1980s, a paper entitled UFO Technology and the Imbalance of Power. He states, quote, we are not engaged in an arms race, but rather in a race of perfecting an integrated program of UFO technology, including extraterrestrial plasma weapons and electromagnetic pulse devices. But our scientists will not turn to national defense unless they perceive an actual danger to the United States.
And where did you find that?
That is in this excerpt that comes directly out of Teller's UFO Technology and Balance of Power paper he presented. He was also the former director of the Star Wars Defense Initiative. He was basically behind getting the Defense Initiative pushed out during the Reagan administration when Ronald Reagan made his famous 1983 March 24th Star Wars defense speech.
And you think the whole Star Wars was defense was in reaction to a UFO? Correct. And what were they trying to do with Star Wars?
They were trying to develop a off-world space defense platform for an ongoing exopolitical threat.
I see. So, but there wasn't really a threat. They would just
According to the Casey briefing, the CIA MJ-12 briefing that occurred on March 6, 1981, during the Saturn-Pluto alignment, when it was really very tight and close. Five different extraterrestrial species, right? The Ebens, the Arcaloids, the Qualaloids, the Hoplaloids, and the Trantaloids. That's the way they've been typed. The Trantaloids, right, are responsible since 1955, according to the CIA, for abducting some humans.
Now, this is in a CIA memo?
Yes, this is a CIA briefing to the president.
Actually, I think Linda has a lot of it. Linda Moulton Howe has all this on Earth Files. You can go there.
And they use a matter versus antimatter propulsion system. But going into that, we have a hostile alien species. One out of this.
Which one is the hostile species?
I believe it's the Trantaloids.
And then we have some nice alien species.
Yes, we do. Like the Ebens, But the Ebens, according to Linda, are not always honest.
Right.
Okay.
And those are the little grays that are taking on genetics.
Not the little grays. No. The Ebens actually created the other species.
That's what they say. I don't know.
Now, according to the Ebens.
Yes.
All right. This is from the source. This is from what the briefing was that the Ebens created these species. And they seem to have a very vested interest in our particular species.
But who are the grays then taking up?
The grays are different.
They're not Ebens.
They're not the Ebens.
Because Ebens, I thought, referred to extra biological entities. Isn't that what
Ebens? No, Ebens is a term for this primary. They're like this primary group.
Well, I'm just also saying here through that a lot of this information is on Linda Moulton Howe's website, earthfiles.com.
Right.
She is one of the top investigator. I'm just trying to get an astrological perspective, but are we now?
So, you know, Edward Teller's pitch to the president Reagan for SDI, right? Bringing the attention of a very real, dangerous situation that threatens the world. Times of existential crisis correlates with Saturn-Pluto alignments. We saw that at the beginning of the Cold War, the Roswell, was seeing again recapitulated with Reagan and SDI in the 80s. And it's happening now again, as we discussed last night at the New York Open Center.
Right, we did. So if we move forward in the 90s, we have John Mack coming out with his really groundbreaking book, Abductions.
Right.
Does that correlate to the abduction chart that you just...
So it was during that, during the time of the Uranus-Neptune conjunction in the early 90s is really when that abduction revelation, right, with where it becomes much more mainstream. He goes on Oprah and the whole world hears about this. And it's this is where, and then I believe also at the time, Whitley Strieber comes out with his book.
That was in the mid-80s.
Late 80s, early 90s. Then he comes out with Transformation.
Yeah, then he then comes out with Breakthrough. Yes,
Breakthrough,
he does.
All of that,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
What's also coming out around the Uranus-Neptune conjunction is the structure, the revelation of a deep state, that there exists a shadowy government structure with its own Air Force, its own Navy, its own fundraising mechanism, its own ability to pursue its own ideas outside of natural national interests, free from all checks and balances.
Because they've taken that ETIC technology that no one else knew about and they've developed.
Right.
I mean, that's a whole subject,
and
the deep state.
Right, and they developed their own banking system. They created derivatives. They created a shadow banking system to fund the vast cost of maintaining the secret and developing these technologies. Okay. According to Catherine Austin Fitz, who did a U.S. government analysis, along with a professor, I forget the name of the professor, up in MIT, they basically assessed there's $21 trillion missing.
Right. And that probably went into the black budget.
Correct.
But just let's stay to the disclosure, because it's so rich, the disclosure. I know this is all part of it.
This is all coming out around that time.
Right.
Right. So even though now it's like, because we have YouTube and everybody's hearing about it almost every other day, and it's at this black budget, this number, right, is starting to now funnel in. The funnel begins in the early 90s. That's where we're at with the Uranus-Pluto, the Uranus-Neptune alignment that started in the late 80s all the way into 2002.
Okay. And we get lots of sightings in that area.
And Area 51 is revealed at the same time. So when Area 51 is revealed by Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar reveals it, but it's not mentioned, I think, until Clinton says something, or even Obama says something for the first time that a president acknowledges that it exists.
Right, right. That was confirmation, but the disclosure occurs first.
With
Bob Lazar. Right. So
The
disclosure with Bob Lazar, Area 51, escort Groom Lake, right?
Right.
We have the date when that came out, November 23rd, 1989, 5 p.m. You see, look at that. Uranus, Neptune, Saturn. There's a triple conjunction in opposition to Jupiter. So again, big power alignments occurring. Mm. And we see the revelation of reverse engineering. Mm. Then there's a discussion about the black budget, about a secret space program, about a deep state.
Someone's asking here, you know, we're just looking at the U.S. chart in terms of UFO disclosure, but it exists all over. I mean, Brazil has a huge UFO sightings, Mexico, Russia. Do you take into account any of the international influences on the UFO
field? Well, it seems to me, because first of all, the United States is a very Plutonian nation.
It
Yes, it is. Everybody looks at the Venus Sun Jupiter conjunction and says, "Oh, we're so wonderful and nice and sweet. And we help everybody.
Say that,
we're number one. Everyone wants to be us, love us, act like us, imitate us." Right, and that's that Sun Venus Jupiter conjunction. But we also have this very powerful Mercury Pluto opposition. That's the deep state.
Okay.
That is this second government, this second banking system, this second
and
military.
And that's probably international, and that probably crosses borders.
Correct.
And
it operates outside of the Constitution. It knows no boundaries, no borders.
But it does seem like the U.S. holds the cards for disclosure.
Absolutely. It is the ultimate power broker. Most vested.
But people say, why doesn't Putin just come out and say, hey, guess what?
Well,
we have this technology.
It's not an easy answer, because there's more for them to lose by blowing the, look, Putin has already stated, and is on record. You can actually go on YouTube, and he's referred to the fact that there is an ongoing ET presence. Mm-hmm. And every time people ask him questions, he goes, why don't you ask your president? Mm-hmm. He knows more than me about this. And he's actually, you can quote those words.
Okay. So you mean Trump?
The Russians and the Chinese know when it comes to this area, the U.S. is light years ahead in terms of the technology and understanding what this problem is, who they represent. This is mm-hmm. what keeps U.S. power dominant.
The UFO secret keeps us and the technology we've
reversed. The deep state, the breakaway civilization, and all the various components. Okay. Also, the shadow banking system. The shadow banking system has more value than the actual public banking system.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, let's move forward in the UFO because I want to know, and people are asking, when do you think actual disclosure? Let's look at the December.
Disclosure already has occurred.
I know, the confirmation. So let's look at the December 16th, 2017 chart.
Sure.
If you want to jump there and see, does that have the same signature planets that we looked at in the past? And is there a future alignment that could signal a moment where,
I want to, before we go in, we're going to catch up.
That's fine.
Now, Barack Obama, who's considered the sixth greatest president of all time, you could go to Wikipedia to confirm that, he's considered a greater president than JFK, actually stated on November 4th, 2011, this is straight from his administration, the U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. In addition, there is no credible information to suggest that any evidence is being hidden from the public's eyes. So you could see Obama was part of the cover-up. He would never tell the truth. He was part of the cabal. He was an agent of the deep state, all right? And this is where we see a complete dramatic reversal with the election of Donald Trump.
What do you mean complete reverse?
Because those Department of Defense videos would never have gotten out without the president approving and greenlighting this.
Oh, you mean the videos that came out in the New York Times and the Washington Post?
Yes.
Okay.
So Trump is basically
you think so?
Setting the agenda for disclosure and setting the narrative. Yes,
absolutely. I find that hard to believe, actually.
No, there's no way. If you understand how the deep state structure, everything, the president is the only one who can authorize any part of this disclosure.
Yeah, but he's not interfering with newspapers and the Pentagon.
No. He basically greenlit it. Yes.
This
would never... You can ask Grant Cameron.
All right, we'll ask
Cameron. You know, this is something Grant Cameron has gone into.
I trust his research.
Right.
But I will. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just find it hard to believe that.
No, I understand that. Yeah. So for those who have doubts about that, go to Grant Cameron's site, go to his YouTube videos.
White House UFOs.
Right, White House. And he talks about the secrecy structure. He talks about who has what level of secrecy. The president has no classification. He determines who gets briefed, who doesn't get briefed, what gets greenlit. He is in charge.
Even to newspapers.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
I mean,
so DOD has to go through the White House to get it greenlit.
Okay.
All right. That is a normal procedure. So that's a normal procedure to get something released from
Iraq.
In order for the Pentagon
to have given the New York Times the footage,
yes,
it had to go through the White House.
Yes.
All right.
Right. So let's just talk about this real quick because, you know, I know it sounds like I'm just picking on Barack Obama.
No. Let's see.
There might be a reason why he didn't want to disclose.
He could have disclosed.
But he didn't. And why didn't he? Because the subject is extremely complex. It has national security implications. There's fear. There's a lot of there's population resistance. Mm-hmm. There's a fear of the collapse in the belief systems if any disclosure were to occur.
That's true.
There's the possibility, and this is something where the presidential agenda would be lost. The moment that, let's say, Trump confirms, because disclosure has occurred, Trump says, yes, there's an ongoing ET presence. We have operations. We are dealing with this. Thank you very much. At that moment, whatever agenda he had, whatever plans.
Well, that might save him.
Right. Well, that might save him, but there would be nothing else. That would like, wait a minute. You mean his UFOs are real after you've been telling us? The blowback would be tremendous from the academic community, from the community of the press, from the community of the established institutions that would tell there's nothing to this.
And also the fact that the government has allowed UFO abductions to occur.
Yes. Well, that's the other issue. Someone will say, wait a minute here. Are you telling me people are abducted? I want an answer to that.
Right.
So Trump would be overwhelmed. It would be a complete loss in the agenda. It would be a complete loss in the trust and credibility by social institutions. There would be you would possibly see, you think the stock market is imploding now. It would completely go into pieces. There would be so look, there's that aspect of it, but they know, and Trump knows, there must be a reason why Trump is allowing this. One of the reasons is it's possibly, and I'm speculating, using my astrology, using my understanding, listening to all these people, Linda, Richard Dolan, Grant Cameron, and the rest, many, many other people out there, that they know they cannot keep this covered up because the problem that this, the problem that this phenomenon represents, the plausible deniability, can no longer be maintained.
It can't, but it why can't it? Because, why can't they continue the way it's been going?
There's a problem.
What's the problem?
There may be, we may be in a state of conflict with a particular extraterrestrial group that they cannot keep contained.
Well, I do think the extraterrestrials are pushing to make it aware in our consciousness. I think it's a matter of awakening our expansion of reality internally. And maybe it will show up externally.
The other big issue is, if they expose the cover-up since 47, they're also going to expose the dark secrets of the deep state. They would have to acknowledge there's a deep state. This is the biggest problem in the UFO community. Well, I should actually say in the astrological community and metaphysical community, is there's a complete denial of the deep state.
Okay, the deep state, I don't want to go too into it, but how would you define the deep state?
That there is another government that has its own military.
A shadow government.
A shadow government that basically is larger, more sophisticated, more pervasive, more powerful than our public government, public military institutions, etc.
Don't you think they direct the president then on what to say and even pick presidents, you know? I mean, aren't they the ones in control of disclosure?
Well, that is something where they gained more and more control. Kennedy tried to get it back. Obviously, you know what happened
and
with
Eisenhower warned us.
Eisenhower warned us, right? So Trump has defied the deep state. Why? Because there is enough credible evidence, enough whistleblowers, where there's a faction in the deep state that's been in control. There's a faction that has broken away from the ones who've been controlling the secret.
And they're saying now it's time to let it out.
Yes, because of an issue. When they briefed Trump, they said, look, I know what you've been briefed, but this is what's really going on that they're not telling you. They're not telling you everything. Once Trump knew that, whoa, we got to start letting this out.
I don't know if I put that much on Trump, personally.
Well, look, you know.
That's my opinion.
Look, my job is to call it as I see it.
Okay.
All right. So I might be wrong, but but based on everything I'm putting together, and again, I have the advantage of looking at the astrology and say, putting aside this, you know, Republican, Democrat, partisan thinking, what is really going on? There is a deep state civil war, a faction, two factions that want to get this pushed out, and another faction that wants to keep.
So
the control
deep state, there's a conflict within the internal government. I agree with that.
Yes, yes.
I don't want to get into conspiracy 2001, but is that chart anywhere in the UFO kind of wheel there?
Yes. In fact, this is discussed. There's a film about, it's called, I think, Vice, about the about Cheney. And in that film is a certain scene where there's a missing I think there's like $2 trillion or $9 trillion. The government was supposed to come forward and say, we have
Rumsfeld.
Well, yeah, but it was supposed to be addressed the following day, and we're going to do an audit and investigation, and 9/11 happened. Now, I believe a lot of that money went into space, went into the secret space program, went part into this deep state power structure. So again, and the other issue could be is that the agenda, they might find out that this alien agenda is problematic for mankind's future or the future we like to believe we're moving towards.
It could be problematic or it could be, you know, hey, we have free energy. There solves our whole energy crisis.
There you go.
And, you know, I think then it's the corporations that are suppressing that truth because they don't want to lose the, you know,
It would be a complete disruption of the petroleum paradigm.
Absolutely.
Right?
Complete
now,
destruction.
What's interesting is that, Pluto also rules oil, petroleum. Now, a lot of people say, oh, it's Neptune. But if you look at when the first oil rig, pulled sweet crude oil out of the ground in Pennsylvania mm-hmm. in the 1860s, the dominant planet was Pluto, not Neptune. Yes. So Pluto rules petroleum, the petroleum paradigm that's been dominant. Mm-hmm. The most dominating industry since.
Do you see a critical moment for
yes.
that? When is that critical moment?
Again, that Jupiter-Saturn-Pluto conjunction.
When is that?
That's all happening in 2020. It's all culminating. It's not the day. Look, the big mistake out here is when astrologers go, on this day, this is going to happen. It's the culmination. And right, it's leading to it. We're already in it. It's already begun.
It's the disclosure, the confirmation has already begun. The destruction of the petrol dollars has already begun.
And the unraveling.
The
big secret.
It's already, we're in it.
I would even see the disruption of the petroleum paradigm has already begun.
Right, with free energy.
Right,
Yeah. Okay, so that we're in a process, which is what we talked about last night. So if we move forward to a date of what you call confirmation.
Right.
What does it look like if we take the December 16th, 2017 into account as we move forward into the future?
Right.
What do the coming years look like as far as this interaction interface?
Another thing, too, is the accelerating pace of change that this Uranus-Pluto alignment. We talked about it last night, that we talked about singularity and mm-hmm. the fact that when you see Uranus-Pluto and Saturn-Pluto and Jupiter-Pluto and Saturn-Uranus mm-hmm. all culminating historically, we see periods where we go from a linear rate of change to exponential rate of change. So right now, mm-hmm. we are in a state of exponential change, certainly since 2000. So let's say from 2000 on.
And when does this change end, or does it keep going
up? It keeps going. It keeps
going.
Until
when?
There's a complete disruption, a complete break.
When?
That complete break occurs sometime in the early 2020s.
When there's a whole, we have technology that now we're finally getting used to, internet, computers. There's
another leap.
And you don't know what is.
That leap starts this year.
And what does that possibly look like?
So that disruption from the linear to the exponential begins.
But what do you think that the actual hardware of that leap is involved?
We're talking about the fourth industrial scientific revolution.
What is it? Is it a new adjunct? Is it 3D teleportation? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, it's sort of hard. We can only say it's going to be somehow connected to the internet.
Right.
Right. We're talking about wireless energy.
Okay.
Right. Wireless transmission.
Which Tesla knew about. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So this is all going to become, but we're actually talking the real core of it's all going to be, everything's going to be interconnected mm-hmm. between time and space with all devices. Everything's going to be chipped and it's going to be artificially intelligent and connected to we're going to have the first generation of artificial intelligence within a decade or less.
But you know what you're not talking about? A spiritual revolution that I think is happening as people's minds expand and we wake into higher consciousness. Do you see that?
Yeah, that's all part and parcel of what this singularity is going to be about.
Okay.
There's no doubt. But, so basically we're really talking about a general AI without a consciousness. This would be a first generation. Mm-hmm. And then Right. Well, we're going to really see it very much change the culture of our lives in a much more profound way than it has now.
An artificial intelligence that is going to...
A general AI.
In a good way, it'll change.
In a good way.
Because, technology is here to help us, serve us.
And then by 2029, 2030, we're going to see the emergence, the first generation of a super intelligence.
What does that mean?
A super intelligence, something that is conscious, something that's self-reflective, something that is self-aware.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's the next phase. So, this is what these planetary alignments are indicating. And again, going back to these X events, as you can see here on the screen, you can go back every 100 years all the way to 410 AD and is always a major event that occurs in the second decade of every new century that defines the rest of that century.
Right. And I guess you can see that for the 20th century, 1900s and 1920s.
1919, World War One.
The end of World War One, and the beginning of a kind of modern way of living, the Roaring Twenties.
That's right. With the creation of the Soviet Union, the creation of Nazi Germany,
but also
the creation of America as a superpower.
And the creation of America as a lifestyle began in the
modern life.
The middle class said, okay, we're comfortable now.
So the 20th century really starts then, right?
And so you're saying the second decade, which we're coming into.
Right.
Next year will be the beginning of a whole new transformation that we have yet to even understand at this moment.
Right.
Unless you're remote viewing the future, then you know.
Right.
So to wrap up here, just some final words as far as like what people can do. Is there anything that you recommend as an astrologer to prepare or to be ahead of the curve?
I think it's just getting greater awareness, being very aware that we're going through some type of collective transformational death rebirth crisis. We're certainly more in that death phase, that death transformational phase. We're more
the ending of an old.
We're the ending of the old era, the old epoch, the old way. We're transforming, and then there'll be a rebirth, but we're going to have to get through this before we have that rebirth.
But we are getting, I mean, it is a difficult, you know,
transformation
yeah. But I'm really excited, aren't you?
I'm very excited. That's why we're doing this.
What's coming on the other end of that?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a much better world. It's going to be a much better world.
Much more open, much more transparent, much more.
Absolutely.
I mean, once we have free energy, then, you know, all bets are off.
Right. And
then we can become why we're incarnated in the first place, to be creative beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're here to create, not be slaves to the system.
That's right.
And with free energy, which probably exists because that's how they're not filling up their gas tank to get here, the UFOs,
right,
then we can really come into a kind of a utopian society where everyone has a chance to be the creator of their reality.
Right.
That's what I feel.
Right. So it's no doubt that disclosure followed by confirmation is going to transform the world. And while this transformation is taking place, we're going to see a convergence of crises, breakthroughs, and major leaps in technology, culture, in ways that we cannot even fathom.
Mm.
And that's what I see coming, and it's going to be very exciting.
That's why I call this program New Realities, because you never know what the reality is going to be.
True.
As George W. Bush said, the future will be better tomorrow.
Let's hope.
Which I don't think he knew what he was saying, but thank you, William.
You're welcome.
For people, though, who want the four-hour DVD version.
Yeah, so I did a four-hour, heavy-duty, high-intensity, no-holds-barred, webinar on UFO disclosure, the astrology of ET disclosure. And it is the most comprehensive, most informed. It has an astrological framework, archetypal astrological framework, with all the major events in detail from the event that happened in Germany in the 1500s all the way out to present today with the latest revelation with the New York Times ATIP program.
Just to kind of wrap up on my end, I think what all this is leading to and is a cosmic consciousness. We are awakening. The best mechanism is our brain.
Right.
It is the most multidimensional, multifaceted tool we have. And by awakening the full technology, we tap into a cosmic consciousness, which is our doorway to the stars, which is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, which is our interaction with ET intelligence.
Absolutely.
Because we are them.
Yes.
You know, we have that inner resource.
I think the biggest thing with this shift in consciousness, this cosmic consciousness, is a shift from the type of civilization we're at now, which would be termed from Michio Kaku and other physicists, a type zero, to transitioning to a type one planetary civilization. And if we are in that transition, which it seems we are, then any extraterrestrial group would be very interested to witness that and to observe that, because that means the timeline where we can enter their world is not too far away.
Well, you know what was the big transition for me was the Mayan calendar 2012 date. It was based on a galactic cycle, and suddenly we went from a solar civilization to a galactic. That was the only reason I think that really exists within the mind set of the public, just to show us that we're not just a solar system, we're part of a much bigger neighborhood. And that was an awakening of a greater consciousness.
Right. And that's very much connected with the apocalypse.
What do you mean? Apocalypse?
Well, the apocalypse.
The
apocalypse.
The apocalypse.
Yes, right. The disclosure, because part of the Mayan revelation from the period of 2012 to 2032 would be the end of God.
As we call religion,
which would be in order for that to really be to have a much broader understanding of consciousness and the relation and how it and cosmology and divinity, you would need to have an apocalypse. And that apocalypse is an awakening of the limitless human potential in the mines.
Right.
Right.
But it's not necessarily a destruction. It's a destruction of the old.
It's a destruction of the old. Right. Right?
William Stick Evers, ladies and gentlemen, your website again?
My website is williamstickevers.com. You can reach me there. You could also friend me on Facebook, Instagram. I'm available and I'm really looking forward to reaching out to all of you who are interested and sharing this information with you while we're going through this period of change and transformation.
And I'm Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I'm also going to be at Alex Gray's Chapel of Sacred Mirrors, January 19th, 2019. I'm teaching a remote viewing course. So if you want to know how to open your brain to a greater consciousness and get and tune in anywhere, anytime, I'm going to be showing you how to do that. So go to cosm.org, look under events, and you can see my event. Or you go to my Facebook page or my website, newrealitiesevents.com. Thanks for watching.